thank you for waiting. So we got a third. It's crazy times out there in the world. So appreciate all of our emergency responders in the back of the room.
They were there.
Yeah. I know. So the first item on our agenda is the approval of our minutes from January 10th. I'm just losing my form because something's important in the closet.
Oh, he's helping us with the AV.
He's doing the AV.
Should be right.
I have a comment. Not yet. You don't.
Theirs.
Oh, theirs aren't?
On the minutes?
Yes,
just none of them work?
I think we're going to try to get the AD turned
on. We'll pick up. Trying to get the mics, that's all.
The mics are on.
I thought they were. This one's working up here. You see, there's a little hockey.
Aha.
Now try.
This sounds better? Oh, you can really hear me. Okay, thank you, Jim. All right, so first item on our agenda is approval of the minutes from our January 10th meeting. Any comments or corrections from commissioners? Anyone from the public wanted to speak to the minutes? Barbara?
I'm Barbara Salzman, representing Marin Audubon Society. I wanted to raise the issue that a lot of us made comments on specific items, and they're not showing up in the these minutes. So, is there some new approach?
These are summary minutes. A full recording of the meeting is available on the website. So we intend to try to capture the actions and some of the comments as we could, but in the interest of staff resources, we try to summarize.
And that has been our practice for a long time.
I haven't noticed it so striking because there were no... Yeah. I mean, sometimes people from the audience make important comments, and I don't think that they should be dismissed. Yeah. The only comments that were in here were at the end, public comments, whereas... there's a lot of discussion.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Barbara. And it is, agencies do this differently, and it is resource-based, but everything is available on the website, so.
It is available.
The full recording of the meeting.
The full recording is available on the website.
Okay, well, yeah. I still don't think it's in the public interest to do it that way.
Thank you for the comment. Okay, anything else from commissioners? Would anyone like to move approval of the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that's approved. Next is our community outreach subcommittee report and presentation on community efforts. We do have a coffee with Commissioner Wickham and myself and the Anchor Out community set for tomorrow morning from 10 till noon, and so we'll see, weather permitting, if we get a good turnout for that. And we don't have anyone here, I don't think, to give us a report on community efforts, so we'll catch up with that at our next meeting. Item 3 on our agenda is agreement with the County of Marin for Harbor Administrator Services. Do you want to introduce this item?
Sure. It recently came to the attention of county staff and Arbor Area staff that while we have professional services or administrative agreements between the county and RBRA for other administrative and legal services that the County of Marin provides to the agency, we actually don't have one for the Harbor Administrative Services itself. So we felt this was a loose end that needed to be tightened. And so with County Council and RBRA legal counsel involvement, we have drafted this agreement for your approval.
Okay. And this agreement essentially reflects what the ongoing situation that's been in effect for quite a while.
That's correct. And it does contain various clauses about compensation, indemnification, and termination.
Okay, great. Any questions from the board?
Nope.
Any comments from the public on this item? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve the professional service agreement.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. That's approved. All right, on to item number 4. Which is a resolution accepting $100,000 from the County of Marin to conduct a mooring feasibility and planning study. It's always a pleasure to be accepting funds. Do you want to say something about this, Beth?
Well, it certainly is a pleasure to be receiving these funds from the County of Marin, and I would recommend the board adopt this resolution with a lot of gratitude to the County Board of Supervisors for allocating $100,000 to enable RBRA to do the mooring feasibility and planning study.
And I did have a question, Beth. So as we know, RBRE is continuing to seek funding for the $40,000 that is still needed to conduct the bathymetric and eelgrass surveys. Is there a deadline by which those funds are absolutely needed to have in hand so that the surveys could be performed, assuming we can find funding?
The surveys ideally would be will need to be performed in April or early May.
Okay.
So we would need to have the funding lined up by next month.
Aha, okay. All right, no pressure. Great, okay. All right, any other questions from the board?
Yeah.
Any comments from the public on this item? Good evening.
Good evening. Rebecca Schwartz-Lesberg, Audubon, California. I just wanted to register my thanks to the County of Marin for that support. We're really excited about this feasibility study, and it shows a really big commitment on the part of the county to be funding that. So please take my thanks back to where they go.
Thanks.
And also, Audubon, California, at this point, is offering in-kind donation of our time to do some drone surveys of where birds are rafting in the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll be able to provide information for the study. So it's around 5 to 10K of in-kind that we're going to be able to give. And then we're also working to try and find some physical dollars for the eelgrass. And I'm optimistic that we have getting very close to being able to get something, but I have nothing. I have nothing more that I can officially say at this point.
Thank you for that, Rebecca. I think we are all interested in having the bathymetric and the eelgrass survey, so I appreciate that effort. Good evening.
Hello. Joan Cox, City of Sausalito. The City of Sausalito City Council voted to contribute money, but we challenged Tiburon and Belvedere to do so as well. So,
Mill Valley too,
and Mill Valley as well. So, but the council has already voted to chip in.
Terrific.
As soon as we know how we're all going to divvy up the pot.
So. Fantastic! Thank you so much.
All
right, great.
A challenge here.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge. Yeah.
So that the challenge was the Mill Valley, Tiburon, Belvedere, and the county, right?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm way ahead on the challenge.
You have more geography.
Good evening.
Hi, Andrew Thompson. Nice to see you all again. Just wanted to go on the record as saying yes, it's great. It's always nice to have money from outside services in the county. I wish we had that in the 90s. So, but my comment here is, as you can imagine, is I don't like where the focus is going. I mean, the study, it's great to know where the eelgrass is, and I'm in support of all that, but the whole plan of a 40 mooring field, I strongly object to. Our point of this organization is to remove fill from the bay, not create it. And the mooring field only creates the fill, and it further makes permanent and legitimizes the anchor out establishment. This is exactly how the houseboat started back in the 60s and 70s. We had the houseboat wars, we've got the anchor out wars and all that. They were completely illegal. It was considered fill. And now we're doing it again. I just feel like there's no institutional or historical knowledge here. It's so frustrating. So, from my own experience of the 12 years on the board, there should be moorings for real mariners. Mariners who work the bay, live in the bay, are truly our cruisers who are visiting our bay, coming up and down the coast. That's it. I can't imagine it being more than 10, 15, 20 at max. Yet, you're talking about 40. That's just moving anchor outs to mooring a field just to then we're going to remove them later. That's just a waste of money. It's a waste of money. I thank you guys and applaud your efforts in getting more money, but let's pull that money, get it to those residents who are on board on vessels now and help them get into stable housing for them, their kids, and everything else, and not make unnecessary steps in between.
Great. Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else from the public who'd like to comment on this item? Okay. Seeing none, I'll bring it back here. Any final comments from the board before somebody makes a motion? I need one of the two of you to do that. Don't be
make
shy.
Make a motion to approve the professional service agreement. Oh. Yes.
Resolution. The resolution.
Resolution. No,
yeah, sorry. Unfair to ask the guy who got up at 4.
Yeah, I know. Make a motion to approve resolution number 0119, accepting $100,000 from the County of Marin for the study.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, County of Marin.
Yes.
For supporting us.
Absolutely. Bet.
And we'll accept the challenge by the
All right. So next we have a presentation, the Enforcement Committee of the Bay Conservation and Development Commission, or BCDC. It will take place on February 21st. And we have a copy of that presentation. But Beth, would you like to either walk us through it or summarize
sure,
it or
I'd
talk
be happy
to us
to.
About it?
I won't read slide by slide. Okay. I won't do a dress rehearsal for you for the upcoming meeting, but instead really just explain what we have included in the presentation to BCDC to elicit from the board any comments on information you would like to have added or deleted or modified in any way. So we're just getting the background because this is a six-member committee that the Enforcement Committee is of the board of the Bay Conservation Development Commission that is meeting to get presentations from the City of Sausalito and Richardson Bay Regional Agency as well as Audubon, California, next Thursday. So both the City of Sausalito and RBRA have put together these PowerPoints. Sausalito City Council reviewed theirs the other night at the council meeting, and so this is an opportunity for you to do similar. So anyway, background on when the agency was formed, in case the committee members are not aware of the background and how it's governed in terms of it being structured, and what are resources that come to bear in terms of local as well as the resources we get from the state, and then the Marin County Sheriff's Patrol Unit. Wanted to list the successes that the agency has experienced or is experiencing, as well as moving into the conditions that we're facing now, which, although the number has dropped in the last couple of weeks, it's now less than 200 vessels on our waters, and we are waiting for the official counts for the outreach that happened for the number of people that are living on boats that occurred, you know, with the county a couple weeks ago. But we also want to just explain that we have the current conditions of all these other boats coming from different places, and yet we do manage to remove about 70 boats a year. This is just to give a background for the committee that this is not all of local control. In other words, the conditions that we experience are not completely under our own control, that we have all these boats coming in from other places in the Bay Area or the state of California, how easy it is to acquire a boat, just to kind of give a background concept for why there are so many vessels, despite the fact that we do get rid of about 70 boats a year.
Beth, can I stop you for a second because mm-hmm. I noticed a typo on the previous slide and I might as well capture it right now. It's
Thank
a very
you.
Small item. On the where it says don't have to demonstrate wherewithal.
Yeah.
And it needs to have a 2 to acquire a boat.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, that's it. Right. Hey, I only talk about the important stuff.
The other challenge is obviously eelgrass and the vessels that break loose or sink, and the limited housing alternatives, recognizing that some people are in the boats because that is where they live, because they don't, the cost of housing and the availability of housing is so bleak. There's also the challenges for respecting and considering the people that are on the anchorage. As we've included Reverend Mowry before in RBRA presentations, he plans to be at the meeting, and I know he plans to speak under public comment about the people that he's come in contact with on the anchorage and some of the challenges that they have. And just recognizing that, you know, we live every day the tension of values of folks. On the one hand, feel that the Anchorage has predates the regulations, and on the other end, that there should be nobody moored out there because of the concerns that are listed there. And then there's the people in the middle who are wondering, is there something that respects both ends? Just recognizing the tensions that permeate the process that RBRA goes through. BCDC staff suggested that we include a slide that talks about what the process we went through last year in developing the board's direction to pursue moorings as a possible solution. So we've listed that there. And then the outcome that you had from that public process to establish the goals of improving health, safety, and management of the bay, and to pursue the potential for secure moorings as a mean to achieve those goals. And the various advantages for the health and the safety in the bay that we attempt to summarize here. Other management advantages as well in terms of identification and enforcement. So how is the board pursuing this direction to consider moorings as a potential solution? And the first step being the mooring study that's underway by Merkle and Associates, and noting the jurisdiction it includes and what its outcomes are in terms of locations, equipment, capacity, and accessing the shore. The other steps that RBRA is taking, you have on your agenda tonight, for example, the ordinance to pursue with strengthening and updating requirements for vessels that are on the bay, that they need to be seaworthy, operable, have adequate sanitation, and be registered. The priorities that you've established by policy for enforcement direction, you did last November, and the ongoing communications that we have that I know the board has indicated is a critical part of how you want to operate, and the debris removal grant we're pursuing, which we won't hear about, won't hear the results of until May, but we're still pursuing it. And the next steps in terms of making decisions from the information that you gather from the mooring study of what direction you want to pursue thereafter. What does that mean for where you go? Where you want to go next? And I include this slide. You may or may not want to include it, but it's just kind of outlining what I'm inferring that the board wants to pursue, which is have BCD recognize the challenges that we've just listed on the slides, and your efforts on a local level to try to address these concerns in a locally responsible and focused way, and again looking at moorings as a potential means by through the study, and how we can be in, they can contact us.
Great. Super. Thanks, Beth, for being so speedy. Any questions from the board at this point? Yeah. All right. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to comment on this item?
Hi, Joan Cox again. I do want to thank RBRA, Beth Pollard, and Marty Winter for coming to Sausalito's City Council meeting to comment on our draft presentation. And I did have a couple of comments about your presentation. You did say that you're undertaking a study of the waters, including Sausalito waters. So I would love you to include the fact that Sausalito is happy to participate in the funding for that study. My biggest concern, however, are two slides that deal with housing. There's a slide that deals with housing. And Brad McRae from BCDC at one of our subcommittee meetings where Beth Pollard and Marty Winter and Jim Frazier were present said, Richardson Bay is not a solution for housing. And I believe that even mentioning Richardson Bay and housing as a housing alternative, it is exactly the opposite of what we're trying to accomplish by raising on the VI Spadat scale the fact of the danger of living on the water. So on the one hand, we're writing to the County of Marin and to other agencies asking that the very fact that people are living on the water creates such a danger for them that we want to raise their eligibility for housing on land. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, we're saying that, but on the other, we're this slide seems to imply that some people see living on the water as a as an alternative for housing when it's unaffordable elsewhere. So I just want to be cautious about the way that it's framed, because in no way should anybody be suggesting that living on the water, especially in conditions like we've been experiencing this winter, is even remotely a solution for otherwise homeless people. And to the contrary, it puts their lives in great danger. And even experienced mariners will tell you that even when they're on a mooring, that is still not a viable option for someone who doesn't know their way around the water. So even the one of our concerns in Sausalito about the establishment of moorings is that it leads to a false sense of security. It does raise the level of safety from some of the makeshift anchorage devices that are out there now, but in no way does it create a safe environment for someone otherwise not a seasoned mariner.
Yeah, good point.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to comment?
Just a point of order. I just wondered which slide you were talking about and where.
Oh, fair question.
Challenges?
It's one of the challenges slides.
Yeah, limited housing alternatives.
It's on, this says page 5. It says challenges, limited housing alternatives.
Got it. Okay, that's what I thought you were referring to. Thank you.
And then I was also referring to the summary slide where it talks about moorings to enhance safety on the bay.
Rebecca Schwartz, Lesberg, Audubon, California. The only comment I would have, and at first it might seem like it's a semantic issue, but it's actually pretty meaningful, at least for me, is that eelgrass is a resource to our coastal communities. We've talked about how eelgrass can help ameliorate the impacts of climate change, like ocean acidification and sea level rise and erosion. And it's listed in here as a challenge. And it might be nice to recognize that we rely really heavily on the ecosystem services that eelgrass provides. And it's not inherently challenging to have eelgrass in a bay. It's actually a really wonderful thing to have eelgrass in a bay. So I just wanted to call that attention to it. And habitat for wildlife and fish we want to eat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
My name is Barbara Salzman Still, and I'd like to make a few comments about it. I, too, plan to be there and present our point of view, but I wanted to echo and support Joan Cox's comments and say that sometimes conditions on the bay are not even good for experienced sailors, so that needs to be considered also. But the two things that I thought were missing, one I frankly wouldn't expect you to include, but that's the public trust, the fact that the living on the bay is contrary to the public trust. But the other one that I bring up all the time is enforcement, and it's not clear how again, you plan to enforce this, because there's been no history of enforcement, effective enforcement, or any kind of enforcement that I can see for the anchor outs on the bay. So it would be good to have some reference to that in the slides. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Is anyone else who'd like to comment? Okay, I'm going to bring this back up. And just a couple of comments. I certainly didn't read the slide about eelgrass as suggesting that eelgrass was creating the challenge. And I'm assuming the intention was to really talk about the impacts on eelgrass and other marine ecology. Is that how it was intended, Beth? Coming back to that slide now.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly address that. In
it just so it's so it's clear. Yeah, I don't think we're in danger from the eelgrass. So, but I did also think that Joan Cox's comments about the housing slide. We may, perhaps it would be appropriate to add in a reference to the inexperienced mariners and the resulting increase in risk and safety issues, because that, I think, that's really what this slide, that's what I read this slide is trying to talk about, was the risks that were created by people who are not experienced mariners who are living on the water because they can't find housing otherwise. It wasn't necessarily an endorsement one way or the other. It was just talking about the conditions on the anchorage. Is that a fair statement, Beth? Okay.
Right. So it was intended to that people go to vessels because they don't see other housing mm-hmm. availability. It's mm-hmm. not meant to imply that that's mm-hmm. we're promoting that as a
right. And I think this will come out in your presentation to BCDC. Obviously, you can't put
I can add in about inexperienced and gravitating to that.
All right. Okay. Other comments or questions,
well,
Jim?
Board-wise, I agree with the mayor and some of our intentions, but I don't know whether we want to indicate that the RA does not recognize the mariners as a solution to affordable housing, but that we that the crisis itself has caused the lack of housing. Because having mooring field doesn't mean that we're going to be enhancing livables for a long period of time. I mean, when we get the study back, we're going to make a decision yeah. how we're going to manage
right.
that. You know,
right.
it might be a phased out sunset clause.
It's a transitional
piece to where
right.
in 5 years to 10 years, there will be no more, you know, we'll have a plan in place to have housing available, and anchor outs won't be living on the boats in the bay. It'll be back to the federal anchor seat, maybe. I don't know. But I think there's a process there that this is not a locked-in deal, that we're going to people living on boats for a long-term period of time.
Right, and I don't think we're talking about that at the moment.
That we're recognizing that
right.
the affordable housing crisis is mm-hmm. an issue,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't been addressed for 4 decades out there, and now we're trying to address this issue and then put a plan together for
mm-hmm.
the future. So
mm-hmm.
I can see on that slide there, it makes it sound like we're encouraging that this is a new affordable housing unit in Marin County, and we recognize the crisis we're into right now, but our intention is to get individuals on land in regular housing and not make this into a affordable housing unit.
And maybe just changing the housing to transition, limited transitional, you know, alternatives.
I mean, do you agree? That's what I'm saying.
Well, so I do. I mean, to me, this is, we're really not talking about where we may end up, because we need more information before we even figure that out. But to me, it's the what you said at the beginning was that the housing crisis is creating a dynamic that's creating challenges on the anchorage because of folks who are not experienced mariners and may have young children living with them, and it just creates a real risk and a danger to themselves and others, and that's one of the challenges of trying to figure out what to do.
Driving to Oakland or San Francisco on
the freeways,
where
they're
on the water, they're on their freeways in these compounds. So I mean, we have this issue the governor has recognized in California, and we need to focus on solutions. So.
Yeah. We're not taking comments at this point. We took them before. Now it's just our board conversation.
Okay, I just had a question.
Okay. Did you want to respond to that, Beth?
No, I think I can rework this slide to make it more to make it more reflective of this is what has happened, that people have moved on to, inexperienced people have moved on to vessels in the bay. It's really, that's as simple as that.
Yeah. Right,
because and reflected the fact that there is a short supply of housing available
that
they might otherwise go to.
Right. Jim, anything else?
No.
Okay. Are we good? So, you really just wanted feedback from us on this, Beth. It's not an action item.
Just give me feedback.
Okay. Great. I think you got a sense of our comments. So, next item. It's a first reading of proposed ordinance updating our definitions, providing for vessel conditions required for mooring and anchoring in Richardson Bay, and amending the location of appeal hearings. So we've been working on this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to introduce the item, Beth, and then we'll have some discussion?
Yeah, this item came out of a lot of public discussion last year. where one of the directions was to be more locally specific about the conditions that the RVRA board expected the vessels in Richardson Bay to comply with, particularly with respect to seaworthy and operable as well, even though all boats are supposed to have adequate sanitation facilities, really reinforcing that idea and registration and putting some, just beefing up and updating the definitions that are in the ordinance that were a little bit out of date. We did look at quite a few ordinances from throughout the coast and incorporated those ideas that we discovered there, as well as just the minor administrative issues around reflecting Sausalito's departure. So this is what this would do is you would have first reading, and then you would set a merit hearing, whether it be a public hearing for any comments from the public to make changes. So you can also receive comments tonight, but I mean the merit hearing is the big one where the public hearing.
Sure.
Takes place.
Right. Great. Thank you, Beth. And I think your staff report explained well what language was in here and the nature of the changes that had been made and the sources of some of the revisions to the language, including the Richardson Bay Special Anchorage Association, as well as I think you took some of changes here from language and other regulations just to update the scope of our language, and I thought it was great that there was the addition of requirements. This is where we put in the requirements for sanitation, correct? Anyway. So, yep. Wait, are you looking? Okay. Any questions from the board right now? Okay. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to comment on this item?
Still Rebecca Schwartz, Lesberg, Audubon, California. I just had a question. I know you can't answer it directly. I don't know where in here or if it's in a different place the issue of dog waste goes. But it's not captured just by sanitation device because they don't go in the toilet. But there are a lot of boats out there that have dogs, and that waste is going somewhere. So I don't know if that would just get lumped in with trash and that kind of discharge, or if that needs to be identified elsewhere. But it's something that I've been thinking about.
You have been, and you brought that up before, so thanks for flagging that again.
Yeah. I forgot that I had brought it
you
up
had.
Before. Oh.
Thanks. So our bad for not... Yeah. Are bad for not figuring out how to phrase that. Is there anyone else? Yes. Hi, Barbara.
Yeah, actually, I think it was Annie Libin who brought that up.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I think it might have been.
Never mind, Rebecca.
I was impressed. I didn't know that. Yeah, I wanted to bring up, and I think I brought this up last time, the reference to temporary safe harbor and how that there are going to be exceptions made for that.
Yeah, it was the sewage.
It's really pretty unclear what that means, and it leaves a lot of discretion up to, I guess, the harbor master. And since there's not much, you know, enforcement that's been done, that's really a concern. And I think that it would be very beneficial to have more specific. It's on page 2 at the bottom.
Okay.
To 3.04.050 to have. Some limits in there for being lenient. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fine to have good faith effort, but I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. And it could go on and on forever because someone's not you know, concerned about or able to be or have the ordinance that or and the background and the support to say this is it, you know. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Barbara. All right. Is there anyone else who'd like to comment on this matter? Okay, seeing none. Let's talk about sewage for a minute. There is a definition of sewage in proposed, and maybe there can be a reference to dog waste could be put in there somewhere. I don't know if that might cause a real diversion from other statutory definitions.
Yeah, I would need to research about how that's handled elsewhere.
Yeah, it just might be animal waste.
Or animal waste. Yeah. No. So that may be worth taking a look at. So we've been looking at this for a while and putting a lot of work into it, and I appreciate the clarity. I am a little concerned this evening that we really don't have any representation from the Anchor Out community, and I'm assuming in attendance, and I'm assuming that's because of the bad weather. So I'm somewhat reluctant to actually have this count as our first reading. So I would propose that we want to look at the animal waste issue. If there are other issues that my colleagues think might deserve a little more contemplation, that we flag those now and bring this back at our next meeting in the hope that we're not having an atmospheric river and that we have more people in attendance. So I don't know what you think about that. Okay, okay. Jim, you okay doing that?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. So I assume you don't really need a motion on that. No. Guidance is fine. Yeah, okay, great. Super. All right, so next on our agenda is our 2019 work plan with some staff recommended updates.
Beth? This was brought to you at your last meeting, and since then I amended the work plan with the wording that's in boldface and just wanted to bring this back to you for information, just to make sure that I'm in alignment with your board direction to include the various items about engagement, enforcement, resources, acquisition, including the ordinance that you did identify that you wanted to move forward with, and evaluating the compatibility of the policy discussion outcomes with existing policies, plans, and regulations to determine next steps.
Okay, great, terrific. Any questions?
No.
All right, is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak to this item?
Thank you.
Hi, you're welcome.
Andrew Thompson again. I just had a question. In reviewing it, who is, I see a big gap here in that, is there any effort to work on a state level, build, you know, the coalition I was putting together in the 90s of, you know, San Diego, San Mateo, Delta, and all that, to bring in all the people dealing with the same situation and change the laws so we stop being, so we can start actually dealing with the problem, which is being the dumping ground of vessels, you know, the legal dumping ground of vessels, so that we can do some way of stopping, changing the legislation. And that's really going to happen with the legislature, and I don't see that effort happening.
Okay, thank you. We don't get into the answering questions, but thank you for flagging that. Okay. And we certainly do, just on that point, we certainly do have contacts with our state legislators and representatives and would keep an eye on legislation that impacts our area.
Yeah, Bill can probably speak more to this, but I can let you know that Assemblyman or Representative, Senator, I can't remember which, Jim Frazier from the Delta is very actively involved in this issue and has, in fact, did sponsor legislation that was focused on the Delta region for coming up with some funds to abate commercial vessels. Mm-hmm. And so he has sponsored some previous legislation, and Bill may be able to provide, because you go to the statewide meetings and they have more of a statewide approach.
Thanks.
Yeah, we've been going to the state for money for almost 20 years now, so we kept a pretty close eye on the developments there. We attend it's a bi-monthly event where it's basically a bunch of law enforcement people who deal with water-related problems and push legislation through that group. The Coast Guard sets that up. Usually it's held at State Lands in Hercules. And it's not that we're not chasing the dollars and chasing the programs. In fact, I sat on a committee years ago when Schwarzenegger was governor to develop the vessel turn-in program, which was basically designed to get boats off the water before they became a problem. Mm-hmm. But the illegal dumping thing is something that would be a decent way to chase down some of these boat problems, because they do get sold for nothing at lien sale. So I just had a lien sale boat that came out of Emeryville the other day. The only reason it was there was because it cost $800. And suddenly it's somebody's house for $800. So, you know, that's an issue, and it's, I think, worthy of chasing. So great. I'll bring that up.
Super. Thank you.
At the next meetings.
Okay. Terrific. Appreciate it. All right. So this is information only also. Yeah. All right. Open time for public expression. Remember, this is keeping everyone from going off and celebrating Valentine's Day in an appropriate way. So, but if anyone would like to come up and speak in open time, you're welcome. Seeing none, any comments from board members or staff? All right. We're good. Thank you for being here, everyone, and happy Valentine's Day.